The following podcast is a production of Desray Media. Pew pew.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Trent, your host of Deathray Comics, here, a part of the Deathray Media family. I feel like it's a trope, like every podcast does this, and I promise this isn't going to be the norm. However, yes, this is a small disclaimer that the audio quality on this one isn't the best. This is the product of live audio, and you don't have someone working a mixing board continually for each person on the microphone. So I did the best I could in post. However, it is a really, really good podcast, a really good panel discussion that took place at Salt Lake Comic Con 2016 about some of the best comic series that you may have missed out within the past 30 years. If you check on our website, deathraycomics.com, for the listing, the posting of this episode, Deathray Comics, episode number 2. I've gone through and I've recreated the list that I originally had on the deathraycomics.com website when it was a different website. So if you listen to this and you want to know more about the comic books that are mentioned, you can just go to our website, check it out, deathraycomics.com. All right, let's get into it. The good stuff right now. All right, everybody, welcome to the mostest, goodest, overlooked comics of the past 30 years. So basically, I mean, and hopefully we can get a good look at not just superhero comics, but some other stuff. But if we are just talking about the superhero comics for a second, this is essentially the modern age, right? So Bronze Age ended around 1984, so I mean 32 years or whatever. But we're just gonna kind of go back for anything around from like 1980 forward. Some of the best things we've got, or that you may have missed and not heard about. I'm going to try and make a comprehensive list of everything that is mentioned today, and then assuming I can stay awake in my hotel room, I'll put it up on deathraycomics.com this evening. So there will be a comprehensive list there with links and everything. That said, we're going to start over here on far audience left, stage right.
So with you mentioning that the modern age basically started in 1984,
yes,
I am as old as the modern age.
Oh, there we go.
Cheer. Yeah.
I did that on purpose for you, Andrew.
Yeah, thank you.
My name is Jeremiah Lupo. I work at Dr. Volt's Comics. I love comics. That's all I got. Come talk to me about comics.
I'm Andrew Malin. I'm the buyer for Dr. Volt's Comics, but I also lecture comic book history at Salt Lake Community College in the design department.
And I'm Trent Hunsaker. I'm a writer and podcaster for Smodcast.com.
I'm Carrie Rogers Whitehead. I'm a soon-to-be former librarian who's ordered hundreds of thousands of graphic novels over the years, and a writer and business owner.
I'm Jared Garrett. I'm a novelist, and I loved comics 30 years ago. So I brought some 30 years old comics. I read only novels now because I don't have time for comics.
Oh. Boo. Yeah. Hey,
I'm not the comics expert.
You got so much time.
You like what you like. That's fine. That's fine. Daddy's not mad.
I also have a day job. I work for Amazon, so I have very little time to write and read. So I'm doing my best, guys. But I showed my kids my Marvel sagas yesterday, my two older boys, and they're like, what? So all the original official canon for the original Marvel series.
It nice. Was
awesome. So these are my books. You're welcome to come take a look after.
I am Mark Abo. I write for Big Shiny Robot and with Hoffmangler Studios, local indie comics. I love comics, and I would consider those three at the end of the table my comic godfather. So,
aww.
Yeah, they're going to probably beat
not
me up
be
on some of my choices.
Not to be confused with WWE's The Godfather.
But Mark, you aren't family.
Here. Who's here?
I like you.
Oh. All right. And I know we were all super excited to get through this. We only have 50 minutes, and we're down to 48 minutes left. So we're going to start, Mark, and then we're going to just kind of do a round. So, you know, everybody do a couple of comics, move on. We'll go down the line from there.
Unless someone is dying to get theirs out first. Because they're afraid someone else is gonna swipe theirs.
I'll go with my first cheat on the rules.
No, hey, there were.
I'm doing it.
It's all right, Mark. If you want to cheat, you can cheat.
I'm gonna do this one.
There were okay. Before you start, there was a suggestion that it might be helpful if it was anything that hadn't been made into a movie yet.
That's easy.
But that's okay if you have things that have inspired films. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I have some good ones. I'm going to go with this one, though. Superman Secret Identity by Busick and Immonen. And the reason why I'm picking it is because it's not one of most people's favorite Superman stories, but it's my favorite Superman story. And I like it because it's not really Superman, but it kind of is.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
give us the spoiler-free. I think the kids use Spark Notes now. It's not.
Yeah, it's.
I saw some educators out here. It's Spark Notes now, right? Yeah. Not Cliff Notes.
Okay.
Give us the spoiler-free Spark Notes version.
In our regular universe, in a small town in Kansas that's not Smallville, but I think it's like Small Town or something. There is a kid whose parents thought it would be funny to name him Clark Kent. And he gets a bunch of crap for it, a bunch of Superman stuff. And he doesn't really like it. And he gets bullied in high school. And he sticks to himself and he goes camping one night. And an asteroid falls and he wakes up floating in his sleeping bag. And he gets, you know, an equivalent sort of set of superpowers like Superman. And decides, you know, why not be Superman?
Can kryptonite still hurt him?
There is no such thing as kryptonite.
Yes!
But he's also... the government catches him once, and they draw his blood, and they can ID him. So he's not...
Oh.
It's equivalent. He's not really Superman, but he goes by Superman. He you know, decides to go into writing, but he's not a journalist. He's a novelist.
Way to tick.
Which is pretty cool.
A little meta.
And,
Jared?
And he's in college,
my name.
All of his friends think it's funny to set him up on dates with Lois's. And he finally meets a Lois and actually falls in love with her. And so it's my favorite Superman story.
And this is the same writer who did like the Marvels,
yep.
Right? If anyone's familiar, kind of like giving some background on other things he may have done.
That's my choice.
All right.
Am I cheating one?
No, hey.
Because Superman's technically a movie, but not that Superman.
But not that Superman. It's not different.
Yeah, this one's happy and upbeat.
Yeah.
And it has
and not
a
lumberjack.
Yeah. It has
and
an weird. Awesome ending.
And so, I bet he has more than three lines in the book.
And it's a trade you can pick up. It's really... It's like $10. Wait, I don't
know. There's a beautiful hardcover edition available now at Dr. Volt's.
At Dr. Volt's. That's all I was going to say. I don't know how much it is there. But.
Welcome to Dr. Volt's panel featuring selections sponsored, you might enjoy.
Sponsored by Dr. Volt's. We're still waiting for our money.
Yeah. Okay, right on. What else? What do you got, Jared?
I'm going to take you way back. Like way back. I was reading comics starting at age 11 and up till when I was around 17 when I picked up novels by like Stephen King and Robert Ludlum. Maybe you've heard of those guys. I write fantasy, science fiction, espionage. So that's kind of where I've gone these days. But I have my all-time favorite comic series is Cyforce, and I sold my Cyforce set because I'm an idiot.
You could pick them up for a quarter each.
Yeah. I know.
Dr. Volt.
Have you heard of Cyforce, guys?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
yeah.
You guys have, but how about you guys?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a powerful story. A lot of you guys might be laughing, but so I grew up in a very strange way. I grew up kind of in an orphanage, right? And this is a story about a bunch of broken kids from broken homes who have serious baggage, and they're brought together by kind of a shaman guy who, when they all work together, out comes this Cyhawk, American Indian fellow. And I think the artwork was wonderful, but the stories really rung true for me, and they really were very compelling. And then my other favorite one is DP7. Have you seen DP7 before?
Really digging the new universe.
Displaced.
Okay,
I loved it.
I was going to say, I'm not familiar with
Displaced
DP7.
Paranormal 7. This is it's kind of unusual. Like, it's a bunch of people who had very odd powers that totally displaced them from regular society, right? And then they are slowly brought together, and they don't go fight bad guys. They basically fight each other and are always on the outs with each other, and some go off and do their own thing, and they have to go rescue them. And it's a really unusual comic. This wasn't superheroes fighting bad guys. I thought it was fantastic. And I have other things that are favorites for artwork, but I'll stop there.
And those are really good examples of what Marvel was trying to do with the new universe at the time, right? I believe it was Jim Shooter had this concept of an all new universe.
Wow.
Seemed groundbreaking at the time, especially for Marvel, who had never gone through like a secret
a multiverse thing.
Yeah, right. Anything like that.
Not yet.
So not yet. You saw things like Starbrand, like Cyforce, like and this was a great jumping on point for readers, and so it's easily accessible, right?
I identified with these guys, and a lot of people my age did. I mean, if you want to talk about my favorite comic story of all time, it's Fallen Angels, but we can talk about that.
Oh, nice.
That's all I got.
Okay, Rita.
Awesome. So I told Trent when I came on, I'm like, I like comics, but my expertise is more manga and indie comics. Here I am. So I am more of a manga fan. I love manga. And so I'm bringing some that you might not have heard of, you know, maybe by some authors that are well known, but this is another title. And I also have some fun indie ones. So I'm going off script.
Hey, that's okay.
I'm going off script a little bit. But so Osamu Tezuka, which is kind of the godfather of manga, if you ever pick up his stuff and you look at it, it looks a lot different because he was, you know, really influenced by Disney. So the anime art is different style. So if you start with Tezuka, I would say Buddha is his kind of masterpiece. Mm-hmm. You know, Astro Boy was, you know, you might have heard of Astro Boy, and then Buddha. But he also has a series called Princess Knight, which sometimes seems, I'll be honest, a little bit sexist, but ahead of its time. At the time, it was a little bit groundbreaking of the female heroine going through the comics there. So Tezuka is great, and this is a kind of an off-the-beat one that recently came back into print, which is really exciting as well.
Yeah, a lot of his older stuff is strangely hard to find for as popular as he is. Yeah,
he's more popular, you know, in Japan than I say in America. But if you can read Buddha, that's kind of, I consider a must read, his series of actual Buddha.
The Buddha.
And it's a 7-part larger series, but it's brilliant, and it actually kind of paved the way for a lot of manga artists. And if you're Clamp fans, so Holic, Tsubasa, Cardcaptor Sakura, any of those, anyone Clamp? Clamp is four women mangaka. They write a lot of manga, and those are their more well-known ones. But this is one of their early ones, was Tokyo Babylon. It's kind of a dystopian kind of series, and it came out before some of their bigger ones, and it's recently back in print. It's like their first really great work when they caught their stride, and it's very well done. So if you haven't picked up any Clamp, that's C-L-A-M-P, they just have it in all caps, try Tokyo Babylon and get off the beaten track a little bit.
And what's really great with these two is, I mean, not every comic book store is going to have the specific piece you're looking for. However, libraries are packed full of these soft covers. I mean, you go into a library. I mean, we can talk to the former librarian after school, and the aisles are full of readers.
Yeah. When I would order graphic novels, I had a $100,000 budget a year. You can get a lot of graphic novels. So the more obscure stuff, sometimes you can find at a, you know, it doesn't make economic sense maybe for, you know, to stock everything. Yeah. But the library would have it. So check out some of your more obscure stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Andrew?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to first recommend Concrete by Paul Chadwick.
Nice.
Came out in the late 80s in Dark Horse Presents. It's about a political speech writer with a heart of gold, this kind of nebbish Woody Allen type, that gets abducted by aliens and stuffed in a huge concrete-like robot body. Sticks his brain in there. And so he decides to use his fame as this first man abducted by aliens to change the world, to become an adventurer. And he has hilarious and heartbreaking misadventures over 7 trade paperbacks. It's fantastic. It's black and white. You can get some of them in color. And Paul Chadwick is a fantastic artist. Beautiful, clean line work. And his prose is equally beautiful.
It's one of those books that you're like, So was the guy that wrote this a speechwriter?
Yeah, was he a poet? You know,
it really is.
And so there's also a lot of very beautiful watercolor paintings to accompany them of this rock hard, he's very thing-like character in a much softer nature around him. It's beautiful.
And kind of the property, or at least the title, that pushed Dark Horse into,
yeah, put him on the map.
Into what it is, you know, as one of the main... publishers of, after, you know, top two.
Yeah. I'd also like to recommend Black Hole by Charles Burns, yeah. Another black and white book. It took him 10 years to produce it. And it follows a group of teens in Seattle in the late 70s. And they all start catching a sexually transmitted disease that turns you into monsters. It mutates you. And it's an allegory for growing up and for AIDS. And it's a fantastic book. It's not very preachy. It's not for kids.
I was just going to ask if that was now part of the curriculum in Utah.
No.
That is not Common Core.
No, it's not Common Core. But it is a fantastic book. It's collected in one large trade paperback. And it is a heartbreaking and fantastic read. The art is stunning. When you look at the two-page spreads, they will often mirror each other.
Oh, cool.
I mean, the amount of thought that went into just the layouts is amazing.
And he did the writing and the...
Yeah, he wrote and drew
everything.
Yeah.
Great.
I have more, but we can come back.
Yeah.
So I had a couple that I brought with me, but as we were going down here, I had a couple more that popped in my head, nice. So I'm going to call an audible here.
Okay. I'll allow it.
First thing that stands out... Okay. The first thing that stands out in my mind that I think most people should read that not a lot of people know about is a Terry Moore book called Echo.
Oh, okay.
It's about this girl. I had to look up her name because it's been so long since I've read it. Her name's Julie. Last name doesn't matter. She sees this big explosion in, like, overhead in the desert, which was some sort of military test. And as this explosion kind of rains down on her, she's, like, covered with, like, a metallic substance. Which bonds to, like, her nervous system and gives her powers based on how she's emotionally feeling. And it's just kind of this, I think it ran for about 30 issues. Did you read it, Trent? But, like, the whole story, like, she's on the run from the military because they want to get the stuff back, but it's bonded to her, so how are they going to get it? Like, if they catch her, are they going to have to, like, rip her skin off to, like, get it? And at the same time, there's this other guy that also got bonded to. There was a homeless guy named Kane who's also tracking her down for evil intent, and it's a really fun story, and I recommend pretty much anything Terry Moore does, but that's the one that stands out in my head at the moment.
Right on.
Maya, I approve of that. Also, it's got a very strong cast of female protagonists.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you know, are of the female gender and want a really good comic book with a really strong female lead, that doesn't talk down.
Or you're just a dude who appreciates, you know, good writing.
I got those hand-me-down from Maya. I got all those floppies hand-me-down from Maya and bought it on Comixology. And it's so good.
Yeah, it is really good. Okay, we're going to
go back.
Or we can just do shotgun. Throw it out as you want.
I want to talk Japanese horror.
Let's do it.
We got Japanese horror fans in here.
All right.
Japanese horror is the best horror.
Yeah.
I love it. And I wanted to talk about some ones that are really, some really, really creepy stories that you might not have heard of. If you have not picked up any Junji Ito books, he is, my opinion, the godfather of Japanese horror manga. This is one of him's geo, but my favorite one is Uzumaki. So it's creepy. Japanese horror moves a little slower. It's not like boom, boom, boom. It creeps along and then terrifies you and just destroys your soul. That's what Japanese horror does. But Uzumaki that means spiral. And what happens is this whole city, everything starts turning into spirals. People start turning into snails. Things around the city start turning into circles slowly and slowly and slowly as the protagonists move through the series. And it doesn't really end well. As Japanese horror doesn't usually end well. But Uzumaki is very good. But this is also Geo with these weird fish things coming up and taking over for people as well. So it's kind of gory, but it's great. Junji Ito, any of his stuff, he does some other stuff as well that's really well done. And this is one a lot of people, don't know about it, but King of Thorns, it's kind of a dystopian Japanese. Have you read it? It's out of print, but it's so good, and the end is such a twist. So dystopian horror, and another Japanese one is Dragon Head series. So there's a huge volcano eruption earthquake in Japan, and these students are stuck in the subway on a class trip. So they're stuck underground altogether. And as they progress through the novel, their compatriots slowly go mad as well as they're trying to survive. So it's a survival Japanese story. So if you have not read any some Japanese horror manga, it's out of the park. And try Junji Ito, Dragon Head, and King of Thorn.
All right. Thank you, Carrie. Right.
I've got some.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Andrew.
Jack Staff by Paul Greist.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Staff was he's a long-lived World War II era that actually started in the Victorian era superhero. And he's like a knockoff of Union Jack from Marvel. In fact, it started as a pitch as for a Union Jack comic at Marvel. And so you've got this long-lived former superhero that has to come out of retirement to defeat his World War II nemesis. And it's fantastic. Marvel Apes actually ripped off the story a decade later. It's really good. It was put out by Image, 2001-ish. Yeah. And whole thing's available in trade still. I made sure everything I recommended is still available.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. And there's a lot of parody of other comic books in there. So you're a big comic book fan, it adds a whole nother level to Jack Staff.
And I think there's been a recent kind of was there a reissue, but they kind of played with the character again.
They put it back in. Yeah, that was like 8 years ago. Oh, yeah. Yeah, recently.
Yeah, that was recent.
Yeah, they did some color ones. Yeah.
Okay. And then never mind.
And then Barry Ween.
Oh, okay.
Boy Genius. Yeah, it was done by Judd Winnick, the guy that wrote Under the Red Hood, if you've seen that. He started off as a cartoonist, and I'm looking out into the crowd, and I'm happy to say that most of you probably remember the second Real World that he was on.
That's
I was
right.
worried
he
it
was
would just
on
be
the
a
real
lot of kids.
World.
Yeah. So, yeah. So he got his big break because he was on MTV's Real World, and he put out an award-winning comic called Pedro and Me. He had a syndicated strip called Frumpy the Clown, which is weird and it's impossible to find now. But Barry Ween, it's like Dexter's Laboratory and South Park. It's this foul-mouthed, borderline personality disorder genius kid and his misadventures with his average to below average intellect friends and family.
So, I mean, obviously you were able to relate to it very well.
Yes.
Yay.
It's very...
On him.
Well, with your friends, I can. Yeah. I mean, it's obvious. Yes. All right, yeah. Awesome. What about on this side over here?
How about? I'm gonna go with. So I went with one that Mai handed off to me. I'm gonna go with one that you handed off to me that I just thought of as well. But Blankets.
Oh,
by
yeah.
Craig
yeah,
Thompson.
Yeah, Craig Thompson. Yeah.
It's probably one of the most beautiful love stories I've ever read. In a comic book format or any format. It's about young love and a summer love, a kid in high school, and he meets this girl, and then it kind of progresses over the winter, and you know, it has a bittersweet ending because it's young love, but it's so good. I decided to flip through it and ended up reading it in one sitting, and it's a thick graphic novel.
Yeah, it's 506 pages.
So. Yeah, it's like a novel.
And I know it's won some awards, so I don't know if it's like overlooked, but it's not your typical kind of comic fare for most readers. So I'm going to pick that one.
Yeah, and it deals in a very accessible way of talking about crisis of faith, and just kind of like changing in your life and going through changes. Not to mention the art in it is absolutely beautiful. It's done in this great monochrome.
It's duotone.
Duotone.
Yeah.
Thank you. And like, he did 2 pages a day for 200 and whatever days it was, and that was his process mm-hmm. to get through the whole thing. It is a really good book. If you're familiar with Habib, he's most recently done that as well, but yeah. Some children's books as well. But yeah, that's a great selection.
So I don't have many more recommendations. Except for Mask and Transformers. I'm kidding. But I read a lot of graphic novels when I was younger. But have you seen the graphic novel for The Last Unicorn? You're talking about beautiful artwork.
Yeah.
Oh, it's man. Beautiful.
Yeah.
The artwork in that is...
It's back in print.
Gorgeous. I didn't even know that it was made into a graphic novel until an old colleague of mine showed it to me, and it's like so beautiful.
Look at the art.
I forget. Does anybody know? You guys are like amazing, by the way. Go for it, Trent.
If only we had some of the world's knowledge at our fingertips.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess we have this computer in our pockets and stuff.
We also have a computer down there named
Dark Crystal is back in print, too. Just want to say, if you like Dark Crystal, it's back.
RK has been putting those out,
right? Yeah, Brian Froud, right?
Yeah, RK, yeah.
So I will show you this, and then I have discussion questions if we're going to get to that. But so I talked about Fallen Angels. If you haven't read this, it's really something. It's really risky in many ways. They throw these characters into alternate worlds and stuff, and a devil dinosaur shows up, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Basically, it's kicked off when Sunspot has an act of temper and injures Cannonball down here, as you see. You guys are welcome to have a look at these. I probably won't let you open them, but...
don't.
But that I really recommend it just for the story and the artwork. But then if you want to see something kind of fun later, I have the first Dazzler comic here.
Nice.
Oh,
hey,
okay,
no, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a great
check
thing.
It out. Yeah. Dazzler showed up in like Spider-Man and stuff, and then she got her own comic.
X-Men, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that? Dark Phoenix Saga.
Yeah.
Oh.
You have 60 Dazzlers? That's awesome.
I'm a
failing novelist, so I don't really have much money. But,
you're
welcome to come see these.
Dazzler, is anyone not familiar with Dazzler in here? Okay, so this is worth going through. You've got early '80s disco is still.
No, this was okay. So late.
Well, yeah, it was. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Shall we start at the very beginning?
Yes.
All right.
Before it got put into a drawer for like 8 years.
Yeah. So, disco's hot stuff. A disco record company comes to Marvel and says, "Hey, we want a disco superhero." And so a committee at Marvel create the Dazzler, roller skates and all.
Yep.
And then the company goes out of business because disco dies. And then she sits in a drawer till 1981. Dark Phoenix Saga.
Yep.
And they premiere her at the very beginning of the Dark Phoenix Saga, right after Kitty Pryde.
Yep. Yeah. Originally, concepted to be African American. John Romita Jr. I think had some art,
conceptual stuff.
Yeah, conceptual stuff of like this beautiful African American woman with a shaved black head, which there is no way Marvel would have put that out.
No, not back
at the
then.
Time. But yeah, an interesting character that has gone on and has got quite a cult following now.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
March 1981 right here.
Yes, she absorbed Claw, the man of living sound, and then shot him at Galactus.
So she turned sound into energy, right? And so her whole thing was she'd put on these shows where she's singing and then, you know, make fireworks and stuff out of it, out of the sound.
So she's the cooler Jubilee.
It's like Xanadu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the cooler Jubilee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's the less than prick.
That committee he talks about, I think, is named here. Conceived by Alice Bonenfeld, John Romita Jr., and Jim Shooter. With like four more names on here. That's
yeah. It was a committee.
Oh, they wrote down.
They wrote the committee down.
Yeah, and at the time,
Stanley's on here too.
The when they were creating it, they were going to do a record deal, so there would be a Dazzler record to come out with it, and an animated series as well.
Yeah,
I would have bought the record and listened.
Hook, line, and sinker.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So you mentioned Devil Dinosaur.
Yeah.
I would like to mention that Devil Dinosaur is also in this recommendation.
I knew you were going to do that.
Really?
This is Next Wave Agents of Hate. This is also by Stuart Immonen, who did Secret Identity, but it was written by Warren Ellis, the guy that wrote Planetary and Red and Authority.
Yep.
And so it features an all C-list cast of Photon, Bloodstone, Machine Man, Boom Boom, and a character awesome, they invented for the book called the Captain, who got his superpowers from leprechaun-like aliens after a drunken bender. And they have to fight against a Nick Fury analog character named Dirk Anger. And they have to defeat these weapons, unusual weapons of mass destruction. And the leader of the Silent, which is the organization they're fighting against, is none other than Devil Dinosaur in a smoking jacket with his glass of cognac and a ridiculously large pistol. And so they have to fight through broccoli men and mindless ones and Fin Fang Foom. Yep. And they also have to fight through Rockabilly Modocs and Dinosaur Cyclopses and the Infant Terrible from the old Fantastic Four. Yeah, and then it's insane. It's manic. It's strange. And it doesn't take itself seriously. It is... It retells the origins of the characters wrong, intentionally wrong, and it is just a hoot. Whenever I'm feeling down, I read this book. Every time I read it, I'm disappointed there isn't an animated series of this
book.
So
you get the highs and the lows.
Yes. But they did have a theme song.
But in the inside jacket, it has the guitar tabs for their theme song. So, and if you go to YouTube, if you type in Next Wave, it's the editor on the book is the one that came up with the theme song. It's there. You can listen to it. It is horrible.
Andrew.
But the book is not.
Yeah. No, the book is amazing.
Andrew.
Yes.
So as a fan of Superior Foes, is this one I need to read?
This is, yes, if you like Superior Foes, you will like this. This is a little more manic than Superior Foes.
Think Superior Foes meets Squirrel Girl. Kind of.
So it's
except
amazing.
For better.
Yeah, right.
On mushrooms.
On mushrooms, yeah. Yeah, the last 10 pages are just insane. The Forbish Man shows up.
Yes.
If you guys ever read What the or Not Brand Ech, right, yeah. He has a pot on his head, and he hits everybody with Forbish vision. It's like I said, it's insane. It's like a comic book on mushrooms. And not that I've read a comic book on mushrooms, but it's I can't recommend it enough. And since you mentioned Superior Foes, great book. Didn't get enough recognition when it was coming out. The artist of the book is sitting out there alone, forlorn, in Artist Alley. Go buy a book. Have him sign it. He's the nicest guy. He'll put a little sketch in the book if you buy it. He's a great guy. Steve Lieber.
He's right on that main row of Artist Alley, like the big wide aisle.
Yeah,
he's...
we'll be doing a spotlight panel with him tomorrow, too, if you want to know more about him.
Yeah. I'm just going to add on to this. If you go out on the floor and try and find single issues of Next Wave, you might see they did a coloring issue that was all black and white. So if you're a fan of like adult coloring books, see, I can't remember what issue number it is, but see if you can
find
it.
It's issue one.
Is it issue one? Okay. Yeah. And
it looks like this, but black and white. And it says, ruin this issue.
Brilliant. To give you a little inside baseball here, I had talked to Andrew about some of his selections that he was thinking about, and then I talked to Jeremiah about some of the selections he was thinking about, and they had both mentioned Next Wave, and I said, do Next Wave very first, Jeremiah, and you will piss off Andrew to no end. So thank you for I mean, that's a true friend right there, right?
Well, I ended up thinking of more stuff than I had when we first sat down, so I deferred back to Andrew.
Okay.
And speaking of, I'm going to actually bring up the, unfortunately, we only got four of them. We were supposed to get more. And the reason for that is the creator on it just recently passed away. So I'm going to raise a glass to Darwin Cook.
Yep.
And recommend checking out the Parker graphic novels that he did through IDW. They're fantastically beautiful. They are, if you like noir, hard-boiled crime stories. What was the
Richard Parker's The Hunter.
Yeah, Richard Parker's The Hunter. What was the Mel Gibson movie that was loosely...
Payback
is loosely based off of that story. And there are four of them, and I... If you like... Yeah, like I said, if you like crime, just kind of hard-hitting... action books.
And it's done in a beautiful kind of 50s duotone style.
Yep.
Yeah.
What was it? Parker the Hunter.
Slay Ground. Which one?
The outfit.
And
the score and the hunt, the Slay Ground.
But
in the back one, there's a short version of this, a chapter from the seventh. And the man with the getaway face.
Yeah, that's right. They did that as a separate thing at one point. But yeah, that's check him out.
Right on. Carrie, you got some more?
Awesome. Well, I'm going to pull some kids.
Yes.
Kids ones.
Thank you.
I love kids comics. A lot of amazing stuff out there. If you didn't know, Jean Luen Yang is actually coming to Provo Library in a few weeks, and they're having a comics all day. So he is probably most known for American-born Chinese,
ABC.
But this is a prime baby where this kid believes his sister is a slug alien or an alien, and she kind of is an alien. It's like that, you know, my brother must be this, and you're right. So, but it's very funny. It originally came out as a comics in New York Times, and he made it into a book. But he has some other ones besides American-born Chinese that are really great. I also like Level Up.
Yep,
is another
Level
really good
great.
One. Really fun.
An interesting yes. author who came into comics in a very roundabout way. Through engineering, so
that isn't a typical gateway into.
Yes.
Well, you know what I've noticed with comics? No one person has gotten into comics like anyone else. Everyone has their own like.
Yeah, that's
he
very
has
true.
A really he's Asian American perspective that he brings to comics that you don't find many places. There's not a lot of Asian Americans writing comics, which is great. So he'll be in town in a few weeks if you wanted to check him out. And this is
a great speaker too.
Yes, he's like, very well. He's very articulate and speaks well. And this is a silly one I wanted to recommend, but I love it's Lunch Lady. I'm not going to pronounce it, but Kraskoska. It's like an Eastern European. So remember in school when you thought the Lunch Lady might have been like a secret spy or something, because the Lunch Lady was weird, or maybe like didn't just like you. Well,
she didn't.
She didn't.
It was
like
just
you.
The hair, though.
Yes.
Well, that's because of the pudding incident,
well,
Trent.
There's something in there. Yes, she didn't like you.
And the seconds and the thirds.
Yeah. The seconds and the thirds there. Well, like in this is a series, an ongoing series, still going, that the Lunch Lady is a secret spy after school, and she fights crime. And I don't know why all the evil people descend onto this one elementary school, but they do. But the Lunch Lady is there to save them.
It's not Spider-Man's high school, right? We're not.
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I'm an adult. I loved it. It was a lot of fun. If you want to try Lunch Lady, and on the geeky science thing, as we're talking to Andrew in his bedroom.
Right? What?
Like the geeky kids, the dweeb kids.
Oh,
right? I love
thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm ripping off them. I was the dweeb quid too. I totally get it. So there's Secret Science Alliance. This is a really well done book. And if you kind of see, the pages are chock full of just full of stuff. And so there's these kids that are like solving mysteries and crime. And there's only one that I know of, Eleanor Davis, but she does some other stuff that's really well done. But I love Secret Science Alliance for all the little dweebs inside of us.
Nice. Yeah.
So if you like Devil Dinosaur, by the way, he's with Moon Girl now.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So great.
It's
so
a good book.
Need to check that out.
Yeah,
like,
there
right
really is.
That is something that I'm starting
award?
To read now.
Or has it got nominated?
If it has, no, it
will.
It has been nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it hasn't, it will.
Yeah.
Just as a note.
Yeah, and the animation in that is very interesting, too. That comic in particular also has a graphic designer as part of the team, so the layouts are extremely interesting.
Right on.
Yeah, it is. That's a great choice.
I think Mark has some.
Mark?
I made a big list.
Do you have a local book you want to pimp, though, that nobody's reading?
The Salsa to Strangers?
That might be overlooked?
About? Yeah, that might be overlooked.
No, how about a funny one? Because I like funny comics. And it's a superhero buddy comic that Valiant makes, Quantum and Woody. And it was good back in the day, but the newer series is also really good. And I, in particular, like the Asmus run, the first couple. It's just harebrained, goofy, you know, buddy comic book fun. These two brothers who are kind of on the outs with each other because one's a screw-up and the other is, you know, not. They end up with superpowers that are linked together, and they have to work together to solve their father's murder. And they sort of stumble through it. They get the job done, but mostly because of the brother who's not a screw-up. But he drags him kicking and screaming to the finish line. It's a lot of fun. And on a more serious side, how about Stumptown?
Oh, yes.
By Greg Rucka and Andrew, help me out with the artist.
Was that
Stumptown?
Was that Chichetto? No.
I don't remember.
I don't remember who did the art.
Anyway, Stumptown is set in Portland. It is I want to say. Is that her name, Dee?
Yes.
And she is a detective and gets caught up in a murder case between a local drug dealer, and all she was really trying to do is just sort of investigate something regular and like a regular PI sort of thing. A missing girl gets drug into this crazy, crazy case. There's been a couple of newer releases of the same that are just as good, but it's different art. And the feeling to that, the art and the story together in that original Stumptown is really good if you like private dick stories.
Detective.
Hard-boiled, you know.
And, private detective.
It's like a good noir.
Stories.
And again, it's another one with a really strong female protagonist that just is a great read for anybody and everybody.
And the author on, or the artist on that is Matthew Southworth.
That's right.
Southworth. And it has very stylistic coloring to it as well. Yeah.
I'm going to bring up a book that I've been enjoying a lot lately that may not necessarily be overlooked, but more people should be reading. And that is Southern Bastards by Jason Aaron and Jason Latour. I grew up in Deep East Texas, so I kind of grew up in not necessarily as bad of a setting as Southern Bastards has, but it shows how there are still parts of this country that just have not changed.
Right.
That are still, for lack of a better term, gritty and feral and just rough. And it's the first story arc. I don't want to give too much away if you do read it. It kind of switches up as it goes. But the first story arc is this guy that goes back to this town in Alabama. And you know, everything's kind of the same. He goes back to bury his dead father. And
a guy who couldn't wait to get the F out of it.
Yeah, he went back and was like, I'm ready to leave. And things happen, and he gets caught up in this. The town is run by the high school football coach. Like, he's basically like a mafia boss, essentially.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a kingpin.
He's the kingpin of the town. Like, everyone, because high school football is what it's about in the South.
Yeah, no, it is, yeah.
And just, yeah, again, I don't want to give too much away, but stuff happens. But it's so hard and so rough to read, but it's so good and well written because Jason Aaron grew up in the South. And same with Jason Latour, and they just both pour their hearts and souls into this book, and it is one of the best books I've not only read recently but ever.
Yeah, it really is an interesting book, especially if you know, myself growing up in rural Wyoming can definitely see a lot of these characters that are less educated but very passionate about their points of view.
It's a fantastic way to put it.
But it really
so how is. Would I relate to it growing up in the heart of Silicon Valley, Trent?
Yeah, Palo Alto, not really applicable. Yeah. Here.
But in case you've probably heard of him, but in case you don't know, Jason Aaron and Jason Latour both work for Marvel right now. Jason Aaron's doing Doctor Strange, which we'll be talking about after this.
Yes.
And Jason Latour created Spider-Gwen, So if you're a fan of Spider-Gwen, you should check out this other book that he worked on that he does the art for.
To give you a little idea, Jason Aaron, his next-door neighbor and cousin was the author of Full Metal Jacket. So so that was his first introduction to writing, and he hasn't strayed from the path that much. But
pretty intense all the way down.
Yeah, it is pretty intense across the board. Yeah.
Awesome.
Wow. Well,
there's a few things I'm reading right now.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear what everyone else is reading right now too. But some maybe ones you haven't heard of, The Woods. If everyone read, it's gone by Boom Comics. James Tynion.
Tynion the fourth.
The fourth.
Yes.
Sorry, I forgot that part.
Scott Snyder, who just recently got off an award and fan loved Batman Run. His best friend.
This is very well done. Kind of eerie, creepy. I haven't read the fourth volume, so don't give it away.
No, I won't. It's really good.
These students are kind of transported from their high school to this weird woods, and there's all sorts of things in them, and there's the infighting and everything going on as well. And I'm sure some of you might have read it, but I love Jeff Lemire. I'm reading his Chew series right now. He's kind of wrapping it up, and it's gone apocalyptic and gets better and better every single issue if you're not reading Chew. So it's kind of a dystopian world where chicken is illegal, which is sad.
Because of the avian flu.
The avian flu. And it starts at this one way, but it's kind of been twisting the later in the series, and you get really attached to these characters as well.
So instead of having like the ATF and the the ATF and the what's the other or
DEA.
Federal
yeah,
the DEA
the
thank
DEA.
You and the DEA being the most powerful organizations enforcing the law of the black market. We now have the USDA
and the FDA
and the FDA.
Yes, and they're kind of fighting, and NASA's involved too. So all these organizations are fighting, and Jeff Lemire has tiny little details.
It's not Jeff Lemire.
John Layman.
John Layman. John Layman.
But like, there's little details in it. Yeah. Like he's kind of they can be a little naughty in the corners. Pay attention when you're reading it.
Yeah. It's fantastic because if you can't eat chicken, what do you eat? I mean, so they decide to...
Frogs.
Yeah, they decide frogs, because frogs taste like chicken, and they decide to make frog chickens.
Well, and the lead character, Tony Chu, is a psychopath, which means everything he eats, he can psychically get
all
visions
the history
of all of it. So if there's a criminal that's died and you need to find out what happened, he takes a bite out of the person.
So there's a slight murder mystery, and there's a chicken that kills everyone.
It's also really funny. The art is bombastic and great. I recommend
Chew. That wouldn't be El Pollo Loco, would it?
Yes,
one in the same. One in the same.
Looks like I'm going to be reading Superman Identity pretty soon here, because that sounds really cool, and I'll read almost anything Superman.
Does anyone have any questions for us?
Yeah, come on up.
Yeah, or shout.
There's a mic out there.
It's a long walk.
I have a question for Carrie or anyone else who can provide relevant information. So I love Junji Ito, especially the short stories, which I've mostly read online in bootlegged versions. But like, I love the grotesque detail and how he like gradually reveals the monsters. Can you think of any Western comics that are in any way like similar to that sort of really detailed, like grotesque horror?
If you like really detailed grotesque horror, I recommend The Goon by Eric Powell that just ended, so you can get the whole story.
Yeah,
and it's in 17 parts. And so if you like manga, it's manga style in that it's really long. And The Ghoul by Bernie Wrightson is another. Who's here? You could meet him. Comic legend, creator of Swamp Thing, is here. And his comic, The Ghoul, beautiful, detailed work. Go over and check out his artwork. It is breathtaking.
If you're looking for a Western graphic novel or comic that, I mean, it's... Sometimes it's kind of it's hard to read because it is so intense. Nail Biter.
No.
No.
I thought you were going to say Crossed.
I'm not even going to go into Crossed.
I left my phone at my.
She's like, I got to write this down.
But yeah,
these will all be on DeathRayComics.com.
If you go to DeathRayComics.com tomorrow morning, hopefully I'll have a full list up for you.
And I know this one came into a movie, but I love the art in 30 Days of Night. It's really, really well done.
Ben Templeton.
The original graphic novel, and it's pretty grotesque.
On the subject of horror comics, I want to bring up Severed by Scott Snyder.
Oh, yeah, great.
If you want a book that'll make you feel icky, Severed by Scott Snyder. I don't remember who the artist is on that one. But yeah, it is a terrifying book about just some Americana traveling on a train with hobos and a guy that turns out to be a little bit more than a guy. I know that's very vague.
What is he, Maya?
That's well, you have to read to find out.
It's not quite Western, but it's set in like the hobo days of what, the 40s or 30s?
Yeah, so, 20s. Early 1900s, yeah, like 20s.
The heyday of the bindle hobo.
Yeah. Yeah. Where all you needed was a pocket knife, a stick, and a handkerchief.
Yeah. Does American Vampire count as Western horror?
Yeah, tell us. Yeah.
Even though it's kind of like progressed in, because, I mean, vampires live forever.
Yeah. But yeah.
It starts as like.
Talk about it.
Scott Snyder.
Also Scott Snyder. And why can't I remember the artist's name? He's one of my favorites.
Raphael Albuquerque.
Yeah, Albuquerque.
So that I wish there was more, but Japanese horror is just kind of better if you want that stuff. But there is a lot online.
There's plenty of great Western horror if you go into the 70s comic books. That was the 50s had Tales from the Crypt and Haunted Horror. They call that the Golden Age. The real Golden Age of horror comics were the 1970s.
Yeah, in the 1970s, the Comics Code had been alleviated a little bit, and so everyone kind of like jumped on board and like, all right, let's put some vampires in here finally, and let's start dealing with all this stuff that they couldn't touch prior. And
horror
and
anthologies, the best they ever were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, if no one else has any questions,
what?
Yeah, we're at the time. One more question from Sir Jason.
Thank you. Do any of you have an opinion on America's Best Comics?
I love Tom Strong. Okay. It was Promethea was great. Yeah. They stopped making those quite some time ago.
They're hard to find.
Yeah, you can still get the trades.
Right.
Yeah. 2 years ago, I think they did they brought the property back for Tom Strong and did a run.
Yeah.
I can't remember through what publisher though.
DC. Was it through DC?
Was it DC?
Yeah, it was through DC.
Vertigo. Yeah. Yeah, it was done through Vertigo. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So we got to go.
Oh, cool.
Two of them. There's going to be two different ones. Yeah.
Sweet. Okay.
Awesome.
So you guys want to hear something kind of cool? So Japanese comic reading culture has changed kind of fundamentally recently. So for years, they got to go into the bookstores and read the manga right there, right? Every manga comes strapped completely. Every bookstore, everywhere you go in Japan, the manga is strapped. So those kids, those students who would leave school and go into the bookstore for hours reading and never buying the manga, now they have to buy it. I think that's a fundamental shift over there.
Well, and when Tokyo Pop went out of business, we lost a lot of good properties, and Viz Media is bringing back some of them, but not all of them. So it can be hard to get.
Yeah, and for those looking for that, the Shonen Jump subscription is actually really good. You get a ton of comics every week for really cheap. But one last question.
I'm wondering if Trent Hunsaker is having a good birthday today.
Oh. Happy birthday, buddy!
Oh. Happy birthday.
No, stop. Go enjoy Comic Con, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, that wraps up this episode, and I totally forgot that Randy Clough, good friend of mine, who was in the audience, decided to, let's just go ahead and make it, make this about Trent and his birthday. No, it's about Comic-Con. It's about comics. It's about having fun. Thank you, Randy. I hope you're listening. Folks, this has been a production of Death Ray Media. Our theme music is by Megaran. Go to megaran.com to check out this and so much more music. He's a very prolific artist, and as a fellow trained yet not practicing English educator, I appreciate your hard work, sir. All right, that wraps up this episode for this week. Tune in next week, and we'll have another Death Ray Comics podcast waiting for you. But until then, keep your nose in a comic book.
You
have been listening
to another podcast.
Podcast brought to you by
Death
Ray Media.
Scroggle!